Good morning and welcome to this online edition of Point Lookout Community Church. We're glad that you're joining us today. I want you to know that the goal and the heart of our ministry here is to be and to build community. God Himself is a community, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and He invites us to be part of that fellowship, and that's why we're here today. And that goal doesn't stop just because there's a virus going around in the world that may take a different look or a different form, but the goal of community remains the same. And that's the main reason that here at the Community Church, we have this thing called life groups. We have life groups that meet together in Point Lookout, in Baldwin, and in Long Beach. Currently, they're not meeting during the crisis, of course. But if you aren't connecting with one of these life groups, you're missing a perfect opportunity to be and to build community. And that's why it's important to us, because it's a way that we can do that, even in the middle of this. Each one of the life groups have gotten together either last week or this week through video conferencing on Zoom or Google Hangouts. They've been able to fellowship or just be able to talk to each other. Some people just need someone to talk to in the middle of this thing that's going on. But these life groups are connecting. They're praying for each other. They're supporting one another in the middle of the crisis, sharing needs, laying down burdens, holding each other up. And if you haven't yet connected with one of the PLCC life groups, you could be needlessly isolating yourself. And that's the last thing that we would want to see happen to anyone in our community. So I want to strongly encourage you, connect with a life group today. If you haven't done so already, it's as easy as reaching out to me or to Eric, or you can just leave a comment here and we'll be sure to get you connected. So today, once again, we find ourselves in the middle of this crisis, this pandemic that's going on. And after the initial shock and angst at the outset, we all have to find a way to carry on with life, to carry on with family, with the Lord, to carry on with community. And I think that sometimes in the middle of trying to adjust to this different sort of unplanned and unexpected change, we don't always know how to respond. Because everything's been disrupted, hasn't it? Everything's changed in one way, shape, or form. I mean, we still have to eat food, but the way we eat food or prepare food is probably a little different today than it was a few weeks ago. But we still find ways to do it, right? We still want to connect and communicate with friends and family, but that also looks different than it may have looked in the past. But we still find a way to do that. And we still want to connect with fellow believers in our congregation. It looks different, but we're still finding ways to do it. Work looks different. Church looks different. Family life, home life looks different. But we still have work. We still have church. We still have home. And on a spiritual plane, and in our personal lives, and in our personal relationship with God, amazingly, we have every opportunity today, spiritually, that we ever had before today. And none of that has to change. The beauty of being in a relationship with the God of the universe, who's all-knowing, who's all-powerful, who's always present, is that we can commune with Him anytime, anywhere, and that never changes. Our fellowship with the Father of creation doesn't have to be disrupted like all the other stuff. In fact, if it does change, it can actually change for the better in the middle of challenge and circumstance. God is able to redeem even bad situations, especially bad situations, so that we can have more and better fellowship with Him, regardless of any crisis or what's going on around us. But with all the noise and all the craziness and all the speculation going on, it's really easy to be distracted and to miss out on that more and better fellowship with the Father. And sometimes in our distracted state, we don't always know what to do or how to respond or how to find our way back. So this morning, I want to look at a few verses from Hebrews chapter 10 that profile the new and living way. And in verses 19 to 25 of Hebrews 10, we find three responses for every believer that specifically direct us back towards that intimacy and that fellowship with the Lord and fellowship with one another. And if you understand your need for God, if you understand that you could never reach Him by yourself or through your own efforts, if you know Jesus Christ and believe in Him by faith, and if you've experienced true salvation by grace through faith, then the writer of Hebrews gives us three responses that we ought to have as believers right now in the middle of the pandemic. And here they are. He tells us to do these three things: to draw near, to hold fast, and to consider. To draw near, to hold fast, and to consider. Let's read it straight from the book this morning, from Hebrews 10, starting in verse 19. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling as is the habit of some people, but rather encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. Father in heaven, thank you for your word today. Thank you, Father, that the entrance of your word gives light. And I pray, Father, that your word would enter not just our ears this morning, but our minds and our hearts and our souls and our spirits as well. In Jesus' name, let it be, Lord. Amen. Three responses as believers in the middle of crisis, especially in the middle of crisis. And the first is this: to draw near. In the middle of disruption, in the middle of adapting to changes in work and everyday life, believers are told to draw near. And notice the scripture begins with words like therefore and since. These are qualifying words. They're understood to be parameters for what's coming next and what the writer's about to say. There's an understanding that needs to happen in order to rightly respond to these three commands of scripture. And all of that background is given in verses 1 to 18. And so if you don't understand what I'm talking about right now, be sure to read those first 18 verses and respond to them before listening to this message. And if you have any questions about that or what it means, please reach out and I'd love to welcome the chance to talk to you about it. But for now, we're going to verse 19. Since you are a believer, and since you call on Christ for salvation, since Christ has saved you, regardless of what's going on in the world around you, you must draw near to God. Right in the middle of COVID-19, right in the middle of whatever else you face today, and I believe that you are, and I believe that I am, I pray that we are in this season, but the writer of Hebrews qualifies it even further, and he tells us the way in which, or the posture with which, we are to draw near to God. He tells us, draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. The Lord says, I want you to draw near with a heart that's sincere. If you're not into this, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to do it halfway. And that might sound harsh or unwelcoming, but if you think of it in terms of a marriage or a wedding, it doesn't sound harsh at all. Can you imagine a bride or groom on their wedding day saying, you know, I'm not really into this, but I don't have much better to do today, so I'll give it a try. Not a great basis for a marriage relationship, is it? And it's not a great basis for a relationship with the God of the universe. So we're told to draw near with a sincere heart, regardless of crisis, regardless of distraction, regardless of the world around us. The Lord invites us to draw near to him. Are you doing that in this season of life? Are we drawing near to God? Or are we drawing near to the news? Am I drawing near to God, or am I drawing near to Netflix? Are we drawing near to worry, to anxiety, to alcohol? Or are we drawing near to God? And listen, I don't know what you've done in regard to this up to this point, but I want to challenge you and encourage you today as true believers, regardless of whether or not you've been distracted with worry or stuff or other things that you draw near to instead of drawing near to the Lord, regardless of whether or not you've been drawing near to some of these other things, your Heavenly Father places a premium on today. That's what the scripture says. Today is the one that matters most. Pastor Greg used to say there's 2 days that matter, this day and that day. There's only this day that I can live for the Lord. I can't go undo or redo anything that happened before today. And so I want to encourage you and challenge you today, no matter what you've done for the last 6 or 7 weeks, today the scripture is encouraging and challenging us to draw near to God. And the second response that we can have as believers in Jesus Christ, as those who call on his name, those who are drawing near to him, the second thing we can do is hold fast. Now the Greek word for this word that's translated hold fast is kateko. That's the way it's pronounced. The root word is echo, and we understand that in English. Fortunately, it's not all Greek to us. But this root word echo means to have and to hold, to keep or to be in possession of. In the same way that a canyon echoes or holds on to the original sound source and repeats it back, we are to hold fast, to have, to keep, to be in possession of what exactly? He tells us in verse 23, he says, hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. Do you see how absolutely vital that is in the middle of this crisis? The temptation is to give in to the bad news, to give in to all the other things that distract us from drawing near, and to let go of the confession of our hope instead of holding it fast. To waver instead of holding fast. That's the temptation. To complain, to murmur, to become anxious or depressed rather than hope-filled. As believers, since you, having been saved by grace through faith, and since you've been welcomed into the community of God, you, he says, he commands you, hold fast. Hold fast the confession of your hope. Echo it back to God, just like that canyon does. Don't dare let go the confession of your hope. What is your confession today? How can we do that? And what allows us to have hope in the middle of craziness and uncertainty without wavering? Why are we able to be hope-filled as believers? Because he who promised is faithful. Believers can hold fast in hope without wavering because God is faithful and keeps his word. He is mighty to save. He saved you. He is saving you, and he will ultimately save you. Therefore, you are able to hold fast when all around my soul gives way, the famous hymn says. He then is all my hope and stay. We are to draw near to God with a sincere heart. We're to hold fast to this confession of hope because God is faithful. And there's one more thing that we're supposed to do according to Hebrews 10:24, and it says this, consider. Consider. What does it mean to consider? The biblical definition of this word is to perceive, to observe, to remark, and to understand. It's translated to contemplate or to detect. And what the Lord is saying that we should contemplate or understand is this. We should understand how to motivate one another towards love and good deeds. That's what the ISV says. Consider how to motivate. Other translations say provoke or spur on or encourage, help or stimulate one another towards love and good works. So after you've believed, as you're sincerely drawing near to God, even in and even especially in the middle of crisis, as you're holding fast to your confession of hope, you're supposed to look for ways to help and encourage your fellow believers towards love and good works. Notice he first says love, and then he says good works. As Pastor Greg said so many times over the years, you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. You see, it's possible to consider what good deeds that we can all do, but still be totally devoid of love. And I think that we do that too often, especially these days. But it's impossible to truly love, to truly care, to truly have regard for a brother and do nothing about it. So the Holy Spirit of God tells us right here, look for ways, understand how, and detect the means to motivate and to encourage one another towards love and good works. It's amazing and beautiful how just the act itself of considering others breaks us out of the cycle of selfishness and self-centeredness that can so easily become part of our crisis experience in this season. It's so easy to lean towards and to work towards self-protection rather than leaning towards encouraging others. And it's not just encouraging others in the sense of brightening someone's day. That's good and we need to do that. But the Lord is asking us to challenge or provoke one another towards love and towards doing the right things. The root word actually means to poke or to irritate. Some of us are really good at irritating others. Well, God says use this in the right way here. You can poke or prod or irritate somebody towards actually something that's good. Nothing's more irritating when you want to just veg out on Netflix and eat junk food or have drinks than for a fellow believer to present you with a spiritual challenge. It's an irritation to our flesh. I think the Holy Spirit chose exactly the right word for this. It's His command and it's our call, though it's irritating to our flesh. You know, I had some people spur me on towards love and good deeds this week. And it was as simple as a group text thread in which some of the guys, we reached out to each other each day with a scripture or a thought, a reason to be grateful, a reason to think of something besides me or mine. Literally looking for ways to encourage, to spur another, to stimulate, to help one another towards love and towards doing the right things. And I know it's different right now. I understand that you're challenged. And as we said a couple weeks ago, I understand everyone is experiencing loss on some level, and some of us are still grieving that loss. I get it. I really understand. And as we said also before, there's a time for everything. There's a time for every purpose under heaven. And in this day of new normals, we're going to have to find a way to multitask. We're going to have to figure out a way to, even in the middle of our mourning and our loss and suffering or challenge that we face, to reach out to encourage someone else towards love and good works. We've got to consider how to encourage, inspire, and spur one another towards that. And notice that the Bible doesn't give us a blueprint for us, a roadmap or something to say, here's specifically how to do what it is you're called to do. Instead, the Lord equips us with everything that we need and gives us the admonition to respond, tells us what to do, to draw near, to hold fast, and to consider how we can reach out to others to stimulate them to love and good works. And then He gives us the liberty to be creative, to look for ways in our sphere, in our life, in the circle of friends and community that we have, to be creative with our everyday lives and our giftings and our limitations and our abilities and our shortcomings to somehow carry out His word. So be creative with it. Who can you encourage today? And how can you do it? Who can you spur on towards love and good deeds? Be creative, consider, but do it. Get outside yourself, outside your box or your needs, and consider how you can be that encouragement to a brother or sister today. Since you're a believer, since Christ has saved you, is saving you, and since He's returning for you one day, bringing heaven to earth to be reunited with all of us, draw near to God. Hold fast to the confession of faith today, unwavering, even though everyone else might be quaking in their boots. And consider, contemplate, strategize how you can encourage a brother or a sister towards love and good works today. Amen? I pray that you do that. And I pray that the God of heaven would bless you in that endeavor and that He would keep you and that He would fill you with His Holy Spirit and empower you for godly living, for love and good works. In Jesus' name, Lord, let it be. Amen. God bless you all. Thanks for listening today.